Hello and welcome to our third lesson in the little book of 2 Peter. He said here, if we do these things, we will never fall, 2 Peter 1 and verse number 10. Now, we've dealt a bit in the previous lessons on what these things are, and if you're new to this program, you need to go back and check those out. But the key thing here, he said, is if ye do these things, ye shall never fall, and if we don't do these things, we're going to fall. And so we're talking about how to avoid the pit of apostasy. And in verse 8 and 9, Peter said, "For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins." Now, we're talking about these things. In verse number 8, we read, "These things be in you and abound." In verse number 10, he says we need to do these things. And then verse 12, "Remember these things." And again in verse 15, he said, "Remember these things." Now, there's that pothole of apostasy. It's right out there in front of all of us. And if we do not do these things, we can just be traveling through life, heading on to the next meeting. Oh, I go to church three times a week. If he didn't say if you go to church, you will not fall. He said, if you do these things, if we do these things, we shall never fall. Well, we need to be doing these things. The very final words, and of course this whole book is his final words, but the last sentence that he said is found here in chapter 3 in verse 17. He said, "Ye therefore, beloved, seeing ye know these things, beware, lest ye also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness." Well, maybe you're like Peter. You say, "I'll never fall." A couple hours later, he was cursing and swearing and saying he never knew him. Let him take heed lest he fall. Let him that thinketh he stand take heed lest he fall. Let me read it again. Peter's last, very last sentence. "Ye therefore, beloved, seeing ye know these things before, beware, lest ye also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness." See, that's exactly what Peter did. Peter can talk to us about this. He's one that did it. He traveled with Jesus for 3.5 years. He heard the messages. He saw the miracles. But he just wasn't putting it in his heart. We can be going to church 3 times a week or 3 times a day. That's not the point here. The point is, if we don't do these things, then we're going to fall for the apostasy of the day. But if you do these things, ye shall never fall. Now, Peter said, we have not followed cunning devised fables when we made known unto you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty. He said, when Jesus came, we were eyewitnesses of everything that he did. And so he said, we did not follow cunning devised fables. That just assumes they were there, and there's lots of them around today. Cunning is achieving one's ends by deceit. To devise something is to plan a system to do something. And fables, they're just not real. They're not based on facts. Now, in Peter's day and today as well, there are two groups in an age of apostasy. One group is falling, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and they shall be turned unto fables. Notice here, turning away their ears and being turned unto fables. They're falling. We said in a previous broadcast, apostasy is not a position. Apostasy is a process. It's a process of falling. We try to divide the line. We say, well, where is the line between someone who is an apostate and someone who isn't? There is no line. It's a process. He is falling. They are turning their away from the truth, and they're going to fall. They're going to fall into the pit of apostasy. Then there's this other group. They're not falling. They're not giving heed to Jewish fables and commandments of men that turn from the truth. Now, the problem that Peter was facing was Jewish fables. I've been in the ministry for a lot of years. I've never had any Jewish fable problems. But there are a lot of other fables that turn from the truth. Turn, following the commandments of men. This is what we say. Man says today, you don't need to repent. Jesus didn't know what he was talking about. All you need to do is believe and you can go to heaven. No, that's a damnable heresy. That's a fable. It is not based on facts. And so Peter said, we were eyewitnesses. He went on to say, for he received, that is Jesus, received from God the Father honor and glory when there came such a voice to him from the excellent glory, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. And this voice came from heaven. He said, we heard it. We heard it and we were with him. And so he said, we heard the messages. We saw the miracles. I've listed 40 miracles here. You can go through them. I won't take time to read them today. Peter and those disciples that were with him, they saw them all. And keep in mind that at the end of it all, Peter still fell. Why? Because these things weren't in him. We can be going to the greatest church in the world and not going back home daily to check the scriptures to see if these things be so, not sitting down and studying to show ourselves approved whether these things be in us. We can do all of those church things, and church is important, but here's Peter. He saw the turning of water into wine, the healing of the nobleman's son. He saw all these miracles, and he heard the messages, and still he fell. Why? Because these things weren't in him. Now, after John chapter 21, that changed. He said also here in verse 19, we have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto ye do well that ye take heed. Take that sentence again. Ye do well that ye take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place until the day dawn and the day star rise in your hearts, knowing this first, that no prophecy of the scriptures is of any private interpretation. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. Now this word prophecy in verse 19 has been translated the prophets in Romans 16 and 29. And I think that's what it's talking about here. We look at the word prophecy and we think of the subject of prophecy. But it's more vast than that. He's saying, we have a more sure word of the prophets, whereunto ye do well that ye take heed. And he says that in verse 21, for the prophecy, the thing that they talked about, came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. 2 Timothy 3:16 says, all scripture was given by inspiration of God. It was inspired of God. God wrote, God told them exactly what to write. He inspired them, and that's how we got the word of God. He goes on to say the word of God is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, and for instruction in righteousness. All of it by inspiration of God. Now, I want to conclude here talking a bit about doctrine. The Bible says doctrine is very, very important. Doctrine is used in many ways in the Bible and basically refers to what is being taught when we talk about doctrine. Ephesians 4:14 talks about every wind of doctrine, everything that's being taught. Then in 1 Timothy 4:1-3, it talks about other doctrine. And then in chapter 6 and verse 3, it talks about doctrine which is according to godliness, which means there's some doctrine that isn't. Then in 2 Timothy 4:3, talks about sound doctrine. Hebrews 6:2, the doctrine of baptism. Revelation 2:14, the doctrine of Balaam. That was a wicked doctrine. 1 Timothy 4:1, the doctrine of devils. And then Hebrews 13 and 9 talks about strange doctrines. And 2 Timothy 3:10, Paul said to Timothy, "Thou hast fully known my doctrine." You have known what I have taught you. Doctrine is used in many ways, but basically refers to what is being taught at that time. Now, Paul said we have to have no other doctrine. And he was talking to the pastor at Ephesus in 1 Timothy 1, verse number 3. He said, "As I besought thee to abide still at Ephesus when I went unto Macedonia, that thou mightest charge some that they teach no other doctrine." Charge some that they teach no other doctrine. Now, before the pastor was to preach sound doctrine, he was to stop those who were teaching false doctrine. And you can't do that if you don't expose them. You have to stop them. You have to say, "Hey, stop the false doctrine." I read years ago of a situation where they were trying to teach people who were mentally slow, and they had a little test. They would give the person a mop, and they would ask him to mop the water up off the floor, which was running out of a tap in the wall. And they felt that if he went and shut the tap off before he started mopping, then they had made some progress. Well, exactly the same thing is true when it comes to the pastor. Before he preaches sound doctrine, he needs to turn the tap off of the apostasy that is coming in. There's no sense just mopping and mopping and mopping. And so he said, and we'll leave it here for this lesson, in 1 Timothy 1 and 3, he said, "As I besought thee to abide still at Ephesus when I went unto Macedonia," he's talking to the pastor, "that thou mightest charge some that they teach no other doctrine." Well, be sure to be with us for our next lesson when we continue in this little book of 2 Peter. Remember, if we do these things, we will never fall.